Praise be to God. Would you grab your swords, please? Don't hurt nobody. Hallelujah. And turn to Luke chapter 2. And we have a package for you. Just see Christine. She has a package for you if you're first time here. In Luke chapter 2. Is everybody there? If you need a Bible, we have Bibles. Anybody need a Bible while you're here? Praise God. You can always share one next to you. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Let's speak this together. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and what? Devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. One of the things that happened is he had heard from God. He got a revelation from God that he would see the Christ. The Christ is the anointed one and his anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. He would see the Christ. So what was happening in this? This devout man, since he heard from the Holy Spirit that he was going to see the Christ, put him in position. Had put him in the position of search. Had put him in a position of acceptance. Had put him in a search in the area of looking for the manifestation or the revealing of the revelation that was given to him. Is everybody got that? In verse 27. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken by him, or spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now this is powerful because this devout man was positioned to receive revelation. The revelation positioned him for the manifestation to come, because he heard from God, the voice of God. And what was being revealed to him was becoming manifest before his eyes. Because there's something about positional revelation. Again, it's called positional revelation, where God positions you for revelation. When that revelation comes, you can always expect a confirmation and a manifestation to come forth. So what the enemy is trying to do is get you out of position so you don't get that revelation. And it's vitally important to get revelation because it keeps you connected. It brings refreshing. It brings encouragement. Brings hope. Other than that, many times many individuals go in their own strength without revelation. Even though they know the Word of God, let me tell you the difference. The Word of God brings illumination. The voice of God brings revelation. I'll say that again. The Word of God is written, brings illumination, but the voice of God brings revelation. In Matthew chapter 16, you know, during the holidays, people are grateful of Christ and what he has done in his birth and coming into this world. But remember, he came to bring revelation. It was spoken about him by the prophets that a child would come. He would be bring a kingdom with him. All of this was about bringing revelation so that the true light of God would illuminate in each and every one of us. And so that his character and image and likeness would be expressed. But without revelation, it gets smothered. Because without revelation, what God speaks to your spirit, then the enemy speaks to your soul. And as your soul begins to submit to the flesh and to the ways of the world, it begins to smother the spirit. So everything you're constantly trying to do is looking for a fulfillment. But it's like a dog that chases his tail and can never catch it. In Matthew 16, in verse 13, would you read it with me? When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "What? Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" In other words, he was positioning them to get what? Revelation. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the what? The Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." In other words, this did not come by the revelation of flesh or blood or by the revelation of your soul. It came from the voice of God Almighty, the true revelation. It says, "But it came by my what? Father who is in heaven." In other words, he received true revelation. Did that change Peter? You betcha. "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," that word rock represents revelation. Because the rock that Moses hit came out, the spring of water, and in that water represent the drinking of the Spirit, where revelation would be released. "And I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." In other words, the anointing. The eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty is how the church is built. It's built on the anointing. He says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And that is dominion and authority, backed by the anointing. Again, Peter was positioned when asked to follow Jesus, wasn't he? If you recall, when Jesus came, he said, "Follow me." They didn't say for what. They didn't say how long. They didn't say, "Can I go tell somebody?" It says that they dropped everything they had and they followed. Jesus already placed them in position to receive revelation. God places this position. Listen, when you and I cry out for help and guidance from the Lord, what we're saying is, "Lord, have mercy upon me." Mercy is consideration. "Lord, consider me." When he considers you, he releases grace. But one of the things he does is position you. Because grace is the plan of God, isn't it? It's not some mystical thing that's magical. "Oh my God, I'm saved by grace." Ooh. No, the grace of God is the plan of God. And if you're not cooperating with the plan of God, there is no grace. So what he does is he positions us for revelation. And when revelation comes to us, we expect a manifestation. And when that manifestation comes, you know you're in relationship. It brings encouragement, doesn't it? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So Peter was positioned when asked to follow Jesus. And then he was able to receive revelation, which manifested in front of him. Again, revelation is from the voice of God. Illumination is from the written word of God. And there is a difference. In Psalm 19, positional revelation. This is what we're talking about today. God came into this realm at a specific time. He knew exactly when to come. It was positioned for him to come so that revelation could be expressed. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, would you read it with me? It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. That's revelation. In other words, revelation is always available. But the thing you got to do is be in position. And night unto night reveals knowledge. That's revelation knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from his heat or his presence. It says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Very powerful song. Listen, and revelation is released day and night. That's what he's saying right here. Revelation is released day and night. But position to receive revelation is vital. He speaks of true revelation and false revelation in this psalm. There's false revelation, and there's also false illumination. False revelation and illumination will position a person into presumptuous sin because that person assumes. Has everybody got it? It assumes because true revelation does something powerful. When God speaks, you see. When God speaks, you what? See. See, faith is actually spiritual sight. So when God speaks, you see, then you do. That's faith. But when the enemy speaks and you see, you're to judge their fruit. Because you're to judge whether it's promoting you, bringing pride, bringing division, or works of the flesh. So it's our responsibility to see things through, isn't it? Amen? Again, when there is false revelation or false illumination, it will position a person into presumptuous sin because they assume without true confirmation. Asking for forgiveness of that sin of presumption is essential. In other words, God is trying to keep us in position. So when we repent, hopefully we'll get back in position. So many times people try to prove their mistake. Or justify it. Or blame someone else for it. Instead of taking responsibility. That just prolongs positioning. That's all it does. And again, when there's false revelation and false illumination, It will bring a person to assumption, and that assumption will bring a person into bondage and fear again. It is vitally important that we maintain this position. In Proverbs 29, Jesus was the true example of maintaining position no matter what happened. Everything around him. He was not swayed by man. He was not swayed by emotion. He was not swayed. In fact, he always separated himself. That's why he said, always says, I did not come to do my will, but his will. It's not my doctrine. It's the doctrine of the Father. He always separated himself. In Proverbs 29, in verse 18. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Okay. Let's speak it together. It says what? Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. In other words, where there is no true revelation, they cast off the restraints of evil or assumption or pride. They cast off the restraints of the flesh. They cast off the restraints of the soul. There's no restraining of it. There's no dominion on it. Does everybody understand that? Because when you restrain something, you have it under control, don't you? Amen? So where there's no true revelation or true illumination, restraints are cast off. And people go by what they feel. They go by how they see. They go by what the environment is dictating or even what their circumstances dictate. Instead of what God dictates. And again, it will bring a person into assumption. They assume. And this is the manifestation of the will of Satan. This is how he gets us to do his will. Go to Matthew 16. Everybody okay? Are you getting this? You came to hear the truth, right? Amen. Matthew 16 and verse 21. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Was that God's will? Yeah, so you're sharing with them what God's will was. Right? Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Now, wait a minute. Peter, who just had revelation and saw the manifestation of the Christ before him, and Jesus says, okay, let me give you part two. I'm going to have to go suffer now, okay? I'm going to have to take on the sins of mankind. But Peter heard from the enemy that he needed to protect Jesus. That's wrong revelation. It's false revelation. And what did he do? So he goes and takes Jesus and rebukes him. He says, you can't do this. No man, nobody's going to do this to you. In verse 23, but Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Again, false revelation always promotes the arena of man, self, the soul, and the flesh. Revelation from God promotes Christ, promotes his kingdom, brings humility. False revelation and illumination would always bring pride and assumption. Accusation and criticism. And then Jesus said to his disciples, look at this. If anyone what? Desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Why? Because false revelation and illumination always promote self. And take up his cross and follow me. Again, Peter received false revelation even though he was positioned for true revelation. Remember, false revelation promotes the soul to obey the flesh or the flesh to obey the soul. It still produces the will of Satan. That's why Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Why are we hearing this today? Because there's too much granolaism in the body of Christ. Nutty and fruity. There's too much, God told me, when it was a desire of the soul. It's not true revelation. Listen, when you see people still trying to chase their tail, something ain't right. If they're still going in that same circle over and over and over, something's not right. Because true revelation stops that. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. And let's speak this together. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In other words, it says here that you were eagerly waiting for revelation. In other words, we must be eagerly waiting for we are looking to be positioned for revelation. We are to discern when the enemy is trying to get us out of position. Because without revelation, the restraints are removed. Then people go by how they feel. The enemy is so easily introduced when restraints are removed. Then you can't complete what God has asked you to do. You won't fulfill it. It's impossible. Because in this, the word says, submit to God and resist the devil. So if you're not submitting to God, you are not getting revelation. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Eagerly waiting for the revelation is positioning me and you for revelation that promotes Christ, not man. In Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Let's speak it together, please. But I make it known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and what? Blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Again, revelation came by who? Christ. Amen. And then he obeyed. See, when revelation comes, there is such an intimacy with God. And in this intimacy with the Lord, in this revelation, it brings you closer. Revelation should always bring you closer to the Lord. It should always bring the fear of the Lord, reverence, honor, and respect. And in reverence, honor, and respect, and the Lord is always before us, isn't He? Always. you know, people come into our discipleship house. The purpose of coming into the discipleship house is to position individuals who get revelation. Now, we are here today in gathering together to receive something from the Lord, not from a man, because the Bible says the anointing teaches us. So that revelation can be imparted by the voice of God, not by a voice of a man. And His Word of God can be illuminated. And this here also position us for revelation from Him personally. Has everybody got it? Why? Because it causes us to eagerly wait for revelation. It causes you to seek revelation then. Because when the revelation comes from the Lord, it humbles, it brings closeness, it brings submission, it brings denial of self. It brings surrender and love and the fear of the Lord. In Galatians chapter 2. In verse 1. It says then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by what? So revelation led him. It directed him, didn't it? By revelation, and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet now even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because false brethren secretly brought in, who came by stealth in to spy out our liberty or our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? Bondage. Again, false revelation will always bring bondage. False illumination brings bondage. It brings you back into the cycle of bondage again. To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Go to Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Would you read it with me, please? Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? You going to use it? You going to eagerly seek for revelation? You going to fight for position? We'll see. Verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God. For what? Obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. In other words, revelation will bring forth and promote obedience to the faith, doesn't it? It promotes obedience. Revelation does not promote disobedience. It promotes obedience. 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 5, Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, listen, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Was it available for them? Yes. Does everybody receive everything that God has for them? No. No. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by what? Revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by what? Teaching. Why? Because one of the things that brings revelation, or one of the things that puts you in position to receive revelation, is praying in tongues. That's why the enemy hates. He hates. He'll do everything he can to prevent you from praying in the Spirit. Why? Because it releases the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God are revelations, aren't they? They promote Christ. So praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. It assists you to get positioned for revelations. Everybody got it? Why don't pray in tongues? Well, go get it. Go in your room, shut the door, get on your face and cry out to God until you receive the Holy Spirit. And He will come. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 6. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, because Paul had plenty of revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. A thorn. In other words, he was one of the things that Paul was realizing was that his flesh was in his way. His flesh was in his way. He cried out to the Lord, looking, he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, I got revelation today when my head hit that fence. I was leaving to come to the service, and I went, and I was shutting the door of the fence, and I got caught on the hose, and I also went wham, and I went boom. And I ran in the house and put ice on my head, so I drove halfway here with ice on my head. So it reminded me of the scripture right here. For though I might desire to boast, because of many revelations, the Lord put a lump on my head. In other words, we are to refrain from pride and not promote it. Amen? True revelation refrains from pride. It brings humility and it also will bring unity. False revelation always brings division. Always brings division. But true revelation brings humility and unity. Amen? Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, it's a good day to die to yourself. Yes, I was. That's all I kept saying today. Oh, Lord, it's a good day to die on my way here. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. Yes. Let's read it together. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by what? Revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already. So Paul received revelation, wrote it on paper, which you are reading today. It becomes illuminated in us. And this illumination will bring a desire and position for revelation. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Again, revelation is a mystery that was written to illuminate, to position individuals to receive revelation and manifestation. Ephesians chapter 1. Positional revelation. You know, God does strange things sometimes, you know. And the word says that he makes us lie down near still waters. Amen? Because you know what? You can't hear near a fast running water. There's things that happen in my life that I know because the Lord has last say, doesn't he? Sometimes things happen in my life where I have to lay down. Whether it be an illness, whatever it is, I know the Lord will bring me through. So you can cast out infirmities, you can do all kinds of things you want and claim your healings, and that's great. And if God is laying you down for you to get revelation on that, wonderful. But most of the time, he lays us down to get revelation because we're not listening. And he wants us to change course or maintain course when we're changing course. So we lay down. Sometimes I'll throw my back out. Something will happen, something stupid, seems like to me, frustrating. Oh, Lord, I got a lot of work to do. I don't have time for this. Oh, really? Why don't you lay down and let me feed you a little bit here? So things begin to happen in our lives that seem like, oh, man. And I'm not saying sometimes that things happen because they're self-imposed. Amen? But things will work to the good. But I don't want to spend my time on this earth trying to work everything to the good. I want to spend my time on this earth being led by the Spirit with true revelation and illumination so that time is not wasted. Amen? So sometimes things happen in our life for God to settle us. Okay, lay down for a little while. Take a rest. But, see, we go into that but ministry then. But. We try to reason and justify this, that. And then he says to you, what can I do? Hello? What can I do? He says to you, what can you do that he can't? Amen? I'll never forget, I was sitting in my living room all frustrated about something. And he said, Guy, what can you do that? What can you do that I can't? Man, I just had peace. I said, all right, cheers. And he takes it. Sometimes we need to have revelation when just in that arena to hand it over. Because so many times we go in our own strength and we go in that circle again and we chase the tail when we're supposed to be the head, not the tail. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Revelation will bring wisdom and understanding, also bring vision and sight. And I'm going to close at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Positional revelation. Hallelujah. In verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Let's speak it together. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has what? Revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Powerful. So positional revelation, it takes position to receive revelation, and then revelation to position us for manifestation. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that this word be protected, the seed be sealed by the blood of the Lamb, and that it would grow and bear fruit for your glory. That revelation would come forth out of the illumination of this teaching today and bring us into a place of thirst and hunger for position to receive revelation from you. That we may be about your business in true spirit and power and bring glory to your name in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.